This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now, remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now, enjoy this week's Rock School radio show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns and Chad P.
You know what she said right after getting the $200 fine?
What did she say?
She said... Yeah,
wow,
just that.
That'll be another $200, please.
Sure, let's get back to stage props. You like AC/DC?
I do.
Yeah, what do you think
I know
use?
What they have.
What'd
I
they
know
use?
One of the things, they use some big boom boom cannons.
They did.
Wow.
Class is in.
Is this thing on?
Is it?
I don't know. Maybe. It's Rock School. My name is Joe Burns.
I am Chad P.
And we didn't get rained out today. We thought we were going to get rained out, but no getting rained out. We'll just start again tomorrow.
Restart.
We are doing a radio show today for you, and we're going to talk about some interesting stuff. Last time you went to see a rock show, did they have anything on the stage other than the basics? Amplifiers and weird things? Did they have stage props?
Not the last show that I went to, but the most memorable one I went to was Kid Rock.
Yeah.
And that whole stage was stage props. A double-wide trailer, a clothesline, panties hanging off of it. I mean, you name it.
Did anybody throw panties on stage to be put onto the stage?
I didn't stay long enough. I only went for the opening act.
Which was Lit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember that they started decking out that stage and to look like someone's backyard of a trailer park.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So you want to talk stage props, this thing was full of them.
I didn't actually have him, but I found online a couple websites that were talking about the best stage props in rock.
Oh, sweet.
Now, there's no way I can have every one of them because, I would just be listing. So what I've got here are some of the ones I think are the best. So if you don't hear the show that you went to, like the Kid Rock show, my apologies, but I have here what I think are some of the best.
What was the one when Wayne and Garth in Wayne's World went to Alice Cooper? Didn't Alice Cooper bust through like some bones?
Always does. The flaming lips always come on stage through an LED screen. They sort of, there they are on stage. And then you see them on the screen, and then they emerge through the screen.
Oh, no, cool.
Yeah, so, that kind of stuff happens. And I'm trying to think. Alice Cooper always, I don't know if he does it anymore, but he used to hang himself on stage.
What?
He would guillotine himself on stage.
What?
Oh, yeah, all kinds of stuff. As a matter of fact, he almost died one time because of the harness he was in with the hanging thing.
Yeah.
It didn't work. And a stage person offside saw that he was actually choking, and we should pull him out of that.
Guys, when Alice starts turning blue...
Right, well, you want to go get him there.
Is that our cue?
Sure, great vaudeville out of him. So for an hour today, we're going to talk about stage props, and we may even mention Spinal Tap's Stonehenge. But this is the one we're going to start on. Back in 1975, ZZ Top was on their worldwide Texas tour. The stage was in the shape of Texas.
Yeah.
Okay, so you basically had a roundish stage. You had fences and cactus and other plant life. But what the band wanted to do was give the audience the feel of being in Texas. So along with all of this stuff that was from Texas, they had, live animals on stage.
No, they didn't. I just took a shot at that.
They had two bison, two longhorn steer, two black vultures, and many diamondback rattlesnakes.
You are kidding.
I kid you not. They were all obviously tied down so they couldn't get loose.
I hope so.
This is a rock concert going out at 100 decibels.
Right.
How did these animals not go crazy? And this is a longhorn steer.
And when they did go crazy, who had to clean it up?
I'm sure that happened. I guarantee you that
happened.
Wouldn't
want to be the roadie on that tour.
But seriously, there they were on stage with full-size bison, full-size steer, and they weren't like plastic. They were real, honest-to-goodness animals. And here's one you probably heard if you went to that tour. This is I Heard It on the X at ZZ Top. Rock School. There's ZZ Top.
Let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
What if at some point during that show,
one of them went nuts?
Well, that and just like if they had I don't really know their entire song library, but if they had a song where they just kind of have maybe just a little drum beat and maybe the audience is clapping and all of a sudden you hear...
It would have been funny had they put a microphone on one of them. Now, this was back in 75. They didn't have those microphones that sort of hook to the ear and come around to the front, the little microphones.
Mics, yeah.
But today they could have put a mic on them. That would have been great. Right in the middle of a solo...
It's got to be embarrassing for your sound tech. Check the Bison mic, please?
That's right. Bison mic.
Bison Mike 1.
Billy Gibbons walked to the front. Mm-hmm. I guess you didn't like the solo there, Bessie. I don't know that this is a stage prop. That's what we're talking about today on Rock School. But how about the Red Hot Chili Peppers socks?
Oh, the tube socks?
Yeah. Were those an actual...
Yeah, that was
a
prop.
Stage prop?
That's a stage prop.
Nothing was being propped, but it was a stage prop.
Oh, and they had another thing. I don't know if this is a prop, but it's more maybe of a costume. But do you remember when they performed on television with the light bulb helmets?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And they actually lit up,
yes,
too.
They did.
That was what was so great about it. Wasn't one of them broken?
Yeah.
It gave the impression it had been broken.
Uh-huh. Flea, I think.
Now, this is one that I remember seeing and thought it was so weird until it was explained what the concept was.
Okay.
If you're looking at Rush on stage,
yes.
In the middle is Neil Peart and his drum kit, which
is 360 degrees.
Right, and it turns. Like,
yeah,
that's pretty
so
cool.
So does he.
On the left is Alex Lifeson, and he has a wall of amplifiers, normally Marshalls.
Yes.
I think he used Mesa Boogies at one point in time, but that's not the concern. It's a wall of amplifiers.
All right.
Geddy Lee does not use a wall of bass amplifiers. He has a single bass amplifier that is amplified where, I'm sorry, they have a microphone in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
It then goes through the house system.
Sure.
So he doesn't have a wall of amplifiers, which makes the stage, you know, unbalanced.
Right. Extremely.
So what he does is put something behind him to basically balance out this wall of amplifiers.
Is it a big mirror?
Well, no, he's had different things.
Okay.
On the last tour, he had dryers.
Like,
as in washers and dryers? Dryers.
Are you serious?
And the dryers were running. He's had sandwich dispensers, rotisserie chicken ovens, grinders turning out sausages. And what's funny is every time, and he's like 10 of these things.
Yeah.
So it's exactly the same size as the wall of amplifiers on the left.
So it's kind of like this running joke now. Well, you know, Alex is going to have his amplifiers.
Right.
What is Geddy going to stack to offset the amplifiers?
Right. And what's funny is I actually looked this up on the internet to make sure that I was correct about all of this. Geddy Lee says if you look close enough, they go even further with the joke. The item is mic'd. And they showed a picture of him in concert, and it's the rotisseries with the chickens going like you see at Walmart.
And they got
a microphone.
They got amp mics on it.
Yep.
That's
beautiful.
Awesome.
So,
I want to see that now. I want to YouTube some Rush live performances.
You can actually go to the Rush website, which is where I found it, and they show them all. One right after the other.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And they're always working.
Uh-huh.
Like the sandwich dispenser is like a giant Lazy Susan with the multiple levels of sandwich. And they're always working. It's turning. The dryers are always drying with clothes.
Imagine they put that
in
their rider. How much power do they need? Well, he's bringing the rotisserie, so after we get the correct voltage, we can set it and forget it.
Yep. This is Show Don't Tell. It's Rush, Rock School. All right, talking about stage props here today on Rock School.
You may have mentioned this already, but are there actually, is there food cooking in the rotisserie chicken?
I don't think it's actually cooking.
Ovens.
That would be silly. But I don't even think the dryers are hot. But they're working. You know what I mean?
There's probably
chickens on it going all the way around. Here's a couple other ones I find interesting. Elvis Costello used to have something called the spinning songbook wheel.
Okay.
What he would do is come out with one of those giant, I guess, rotisserie wheels that you would spin, like I guess like you see in Vegas, where you bet on them, and it would have names of songs on it.
And that's how he would land on?
Right, that's how he would pick songs for his concert.
Well,
and he would
do it live on
stage.
I like that.
Remember Gwar?
I sure do.
Yeah, Gwar had the giant human-eating worm and the crapapult. Yeah, both of those were out there. and the Ramones used to have during the later part of their show. Mm-hmm. They used to have one of the roadies dressed up as a pinhead. And okay. It would come out and run, because they would sing the song, Pin, I don't want to be a pinhead no mm-hmm. more. I just met a nurse that I could go for. And he'd come running out dressed up like a pinhead.
I wonder if they had that predetermined backstage.
Who was the pinhead?
Or, you know, they were like, okay, they're doing the third song right now. So ready, paper, rock,
dang it. You're the pinhead today, Bob. Oh, I hate that. I saw Jethro Tull.
Yeah.
And I only put this one in because I saw it. Jethro Tull has a lot of time. Because there's so many people on stage, mm-hmm. has a lot of different musicians. There's a lot of time where other musicians are in downtime.
Mm-hmm.
So what Jethro Tull did was set up a pub on stage. Now, you said Kid Rock had somebody's backyard.
Yeah.
Jethro Tull has a pub, complete with a bar, mm-hmm. complete with food, mm-hmm. complete with a dartboard.
Cool.
So he's got two or three people playing. He's skating away on the thin ice of a new day. And he's out front, and he's got that little tiny guitar, and he's strumming it almost like a lute, and he's strumming it. Meanwhile, the people who are not playing mm-hmm. are in the back with a Guinness in their hand shooting darts.
Nice.
And they're playing dart. And there's a guy in the back eating a sandwich. And that's what they're doing. The musicians who are not actually involved in the song mm-hmm. are at a pub on stage.
I love that.
I just thought it was the neatest thing in the world.
I would love even more if there were like a little backstory to that. Well, we decided to go ahead and start doing it on stage because Phil here, you know, he was trying to close out his tab at the place next door, and we were 30 minutes getting back into our set, so we just decided to go ahead and put it on stage.
I was actually watching how people were doing on the darts. I got interested in the dart game.
He's singing, you're like, he's got to close out 15, and this thing wrapped
up. He's going to need an odd number to get to 501. Here's Locomotive Breath, Jethro Tull, Rock School. As Jethro Tull here on Rock School, where they're playing darts in the background. First break, let me just list a few more here that we're not going to play, but at least you can talk about what they had on stage. Do you remember Ace Frehley, who used to play with Kiss?
Yes.
He used to have fireworks attached to his Les Paul guitar.
That's cool.
So while he was playing his guitar solo, I mean, sparks, emits a shower of sparks would mm-hmm. come out all over his guitar.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Wasp used to actually have a hooded, topless woman on stage that they would throw raw meat at.
Really?
Yeah, really. Wendy O. Williams, remember her? Punk
yeah.
group?
Yeah, yeah.
She used to chainsaw a car in half on stage.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's rock, I guess. U2.
Yes.
Yeah. U2, the Zoo Tour, mm-hmm. actually had connections to the local cable companies.
Of course they
did. Huge screens all over the place, and they would actually have connections to local cable companies. And while the concert is going on, you could watch CNN, you could watch, you know, TNT, mm-hmm. and all the different cable companies while it was going on. And I'm sure that was to represent, let's say, consumerism.
Yeah, sure.
The Pop Mart tour from U2 had a giant silver lemon
uh-huh.
that floated around. And the stage behind it, again, consumerism, had a giant yellow arch that I guess was supposed to show off McDonald's and
Fine.
Somehow.
Whatever.
And Bono was making some kind of a statement.
It's always a statement. Why
yeah.
can't it just be, why did you do this? Because we felt like it.
Yeah.
No, everything's got to yeah. have some deep, dark meaning or something.
Well, Katy Perry's, you know, got that song about California girls mm-hmm. with all the candy and all that. Her stage right now is a giant Candyland theme. With huge lollipops and
yeah,
big,
it
fluffy
goes along
candy
with
and all
the,
that.
With the theme of the album.
Yeah.
That's fine. I get that. But, you know, we did our entire set in Xanax pills to represent the yeah. depression of America right now. Oh, God, shut up.
Yeah. Can you just play Desire?
Right.
That's what I'd really like.
Jeez.
Hi there, Radio Universidad, Salamanca, Spain. Thanks for running the radio show.
Hello, KSCL in Shreveport, Louisiana, the main headquarters of Stage Props.
That's right. They're all made there.
It's the one giant warehouse.
That's right. Even Van Halen's fake amplifiers from the 1984 tour mm-hmm. were all made in Shreveport, Louisiana.
That's right.
If you'd like to get us on Facebook, get on the computational device and look up on Facebook, Rock School Radio Show, and you'll find us. Like us. You really like us. Back in a minute. Rock School.
We'll be right back.
All right, right before we went into the break, I mentioned that Van Halen had a bunch of fake amps on the 1984 tour.
Yes, you did.
They had amps just piled to the roof, and they couldn't be live because all the microphones on stage were pointed backwards.
Uh-huh.
You know, pointed at the amps.
Yeah, can you say feedback?
Yeah, it would feedback like crazy. Speaking of Van Halen, when David Lee Roth left Van Halen, which, by the way, was on April Fool's Day. Did you know that?
I did not.
He made the announcement on April Fool's Day. Dumb. Because people thought he was joking.
Sure.
Anyway, when he went out on tour with his band, with Steve Vai and such, he decided, because Van Halen at the time was the largest touring band ever, had something like 9 semis and had the same thing doubled.
Wow.
The stage setup was so large they couldn't set it up and tear it down in one night.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to have two setups, and one was being set up while one was being played on.
Right.
So he decided, since he was David Lee Roth and he believed he was Van Halen, he decided to equate that on his tour. And his first album, Eat 'Em and Smile, was very, very popular, and for a while he could hold that out.
Mm-hmm.
He decided to use two stage props. He flew in on a, I believe it was the boxing ring he flew in on, and then he left on a giant surfboard. He came in literally in a boxing ring. The boxing ring at the venues that would allow it was basically suspended from the ceiling and then either flew in or was lowered from the ceiling.
That's just how he made an entrance.
That's how he made his entrance. He came in dressed up like a boxer with boxing gloves on.
Can't you just walk up the side of the stage stairs?
No, that's
bro.
This is Dave. Came down in the boxing ring. You can see this, and I think it's the Just Like Paradise video. And at the end of it, he got on a surfboard, and it surfed either straight back up or whoosh, back out over the audience. That's how he made his exit.
What would happen if he fell?
No, he didn't. He was well strapped on it. You can see he's pretty well attached to it. But yeah, came in a boxing ring and then flew out on a flying surfboard. There you are.
Yeah.
And this is the one he would have played. This is called Tobacco Road. It's Dave Solo right here, Rock School. Diamond Dave on Rock School.
He's such an egomaniac. I'm surprised he didn't have imported ocean water to take him out on his big surfboard.
Actually, his backstage wasn't that bad. No, he just liked a lot of what you're drinking right there. He liked a lot of the
Gatorade.
Well, the Gatorade and
Gatorade.
Some beer backstage and some Jack Daniels. But to be honest, I think the Jack Daniels was just for show.
Hmm.
He would come out and take a bottle of Jack Daniels, take a sip of it, and then would sort of throw it all over the audience and then call for another thing of Jack Daniels, take the top off it, and chug it.
Okay.
Which meant the second bottle. The first bottle was just to sort of say, hey, look, it's Jack Daniels. The second bottle was apple juice or tea or something like that.
Fooled ya.
And the people would say, oh, man, he could chug Jack Daniels. No.
Shoot, nobody can chug Jack Daniels like that.
You'd be taking him away on a stretcher if he was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him a couple times as a solo artist.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he put on a good show. He really did. The first time I saw him was at this massive place in Utica, New York. The second time I saw him was in Biloxi at a little tiny club. It's good that he's back with Van Halen, I got to
tell you.
Well, we're at the bottom of the hour. Let's take a break from stage props and do 7 days and 70 seconds. These dates, February 27th, 1990.
What is this date I have in the middle of here?
That's February 29th.
What is February 29th?
It's leap day. It comes around every 4 years.
Look at that.
And we'll do all the way through March 4th.
February 27th, 1990. You remember Milli Vanilli?
I do.
Remember that guy from Milli Vanilli? His name was Rob Pilatus.
Yes, I do.
You remember what he said in an interview with Time Magazine about his musical perspective?
Tell me.
He said, musically, we're more talented than Dylan or McCartney.
Ah.
Mick Jagger, he can't even produce a sound.
Yeah.
I'm the new Elvis.
He is the new Elvis.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that whole interview was pre-recorded.
Yeah.
He was lip-syncing the whole thing.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
February 28th, 1991, the record plant in Hollywood closes.
February 29th. Here's that date. Well, let's go ahead and talk about some people that were born on February 29th. They get one birthday every 4 years.
Right.
Well, how about Zebra's Randy Jackson?
Right. He's eight.
That's right. Ja Rule. He's about 12.
Yeah.
And Chris Connolly, the guitarist for Saves the Day. He just made his sweet 16.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
March 1st, 1995. Bill Berry of REM suffers a brain aneurysm while performing in Switzerland.
March 2nd, 1964. The Beatles began filming their movie A Hard Day's Night.
And then March 3rd, 1994, Kurt Cobain gives his first shot at suicide in Italy after taking Valium and champagne. March 4th, then, 1970, Janis Joplin is fined $200 for using obscene language during a show in Tampa, Florida. You know what she said right after getting the $200 fine?
What did she say?
She said... Yeah, just
wow,
that.
That'll be another $200, please.
That's right, $400 to the cops.
Yes, indeed.
Let's get back to stage props. You like AC/DC?
I do.
Yeah, what do you think
they
use?
Oh, I know what they have.
What'd
I
they
know
use?
One of the things, they used some big boom boom cannons.
They did, Napoleonic cannons,
those
if you want to get specific.
Loud.
That was actually on the For Those About to Rock tour.
Mm-hmm.
And contrary to popular belief, the cannons did not actually fire.
Yeah, they were blanks.
You can't fire cannons at an audience. According to my buddy Steve here, who actually works stage, what they would do is actually shoot puffs of air, but the cannons were attached to the sound system.
Mm-hmm.
The sound system had a recording of a cannon going boom, and then the cannon would blow out air, so it gave the impression
the
cannon was going off.
Have you ever gone, speaking of Tampa, have you ever gone to a Tampa Bay Bucks game or watched it on TV? When they score a touchdown, blow a big cannon.
You're not really shooting off a cannon.
No.
I got an idea. What? Why don't we shoot a weapon at the people who have come to see us? That's a good idea.
I didn't know Sean Connery was the director of the AC/DC concert.
It was Angus Young. There was also one during the Back in Black tour for Hell's Bells. That's how the concert started.
Yeah.
They lowered a giant actual bell.
Mm-hmm.
They had a bell cast. And out came Brian Johnson with a giant mallet, and he hit the bell exactly 13 times.
That's sweet.
Ooh, evil.
That is
evil.
Cool.
Here you go. From the first one we talked about, For Those About to Rock, we salute you. Here's Act Dak. Rock School. It was AC/DC For Those About to Rock as we talk stage props.
Me.
Yeah, kid in the back. What do you want?
Well, I'm always in the back, by the way.
Yeah.
When are we going to talk about my favorite prop?
It got to be a drummer. A Motley Crue's rotating drum?
Yeah!
Sure. You
Come
see
on,
it in
man.
The video for Wild Side.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and what's fun is you actually get to be inside of it because they mounted a camera to Tommy Lee.
Tommy Lee.
And you see his hair go up and his hair go down. His hair go up, his hair go down.
Travis Barker with Blink-182 also does that same stunt.
Does he?
Yes, he does. Huh. He's all over the place, upside down. And then there's a Christian group called the Newsboys. He doesn't go upside down. He's mounted to a spinning
platter,
kind of similar to the wheel in Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
And they will elevate it to about a 45-degree angle, and then it will just start spinning round
and round.
Sort
of show the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
I would love to try that.
You throw up.
Oh, what I throw up? I'd drop drumsticks and everything. I'd get booed. They'd start throwing tomatoes up at me.
And you know whoever puts that thing together has got to be so precise because the moment gravity is involved,
sure.
That's when the Zildjian cymbal goes flying. That's when the snare drum rolls away.
I have always wondered about that. Like, how do you do a good kick drum when you're upside down?
I don't know. You're working against gravity. How about Pink Floyd's Pigs?
They have actual pigs?
Well, no, it's an inflatable pig.
Oh.
If you look at the front of the Animals LP, there's sort of that building. It's a power station.
Uh-huh.
It looks like an upside-down table. There's a pig flying by.
But
it was a prop.
Yeah, but that's just on the cover art.
Well, no, now they actually go around with pigs. As a matter of fact, in 2008 at the Coachella Festival, Roger Waters was playing and one of his pigs got loose.
Oh, no.
And floated out over California. It's the truth. They found it at a country club.
What happens when it comes down if there's a little tag that says, if lost, please return
call
to Rogers.
Call Rogers. See what he has to say. Finally, a couple friends and I went to go see the last Judas Priest concert in the United States. Supposedly last. How many bands have said we're done and then the next year went right back out?
But sure.
Supposedly went to see it. And what's the big stage prop in Judas Priest?
For Judas Priest? Fire.
No, Rob Halford on his motorcycle.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and during the, I think it was Hellbent for Leather, before they played that, he came out on the motorcycle.
Yeah.
And I yelled to the guy next to me, a buddy of mine, and as much as you can yell at a Priest concert,
right.
It was so loud
they were
melting my
heard heard you.
They were melting my face. I turned to the guy next to me and I said, is that thing really running? And he turned to me and said, Thursday.
But Did you smell fumes?
No, I didn't, because I was way back from the stage. But he would move that, and I think it was coming through the speakers.
Mm.
Or they had mic'd the motorcycle.
You may have gotten Milli Vanilli, dude, at the Judas Priest concert.
I may have, but we were all living after midnight at that point in time. Yes, Judas Priest. Here you go. Rock School. All right, second break here on Rock School. We talk about stage props. And again, we've got some left over here, and I'm sure there's some people who are out there sort of screaming at the radio, what about blah?
Doctor, do you know who had, if you really think about it, do you know who had the absolute greatest stage props when it came to musical performances?
Spice Girls?
No, man, the Muppets.
The Muppets?
Oh, yeah. You know, they'd have all these musical guests, and I mean, just... They were masters at those stage props. They had explosions and big giant monsters that would eat you, and one girl came out as a giant carrot.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Well, let me see if I can't beat the Muppets here. American Head Charge used to have severed pigs' heads around the top of their stage, sort of in a Lord of the Flies thing.
Nah, Muppets are better.
That doesn't beat the Muppets.
Nah.
Marilyn Manson would strap himself to a giant mechanical cross that lit up and then burst into flames.
Been done down in New Orleans at a haunted house.
Oh, has it? Mm-hmm. Okay. How about spaceships?
Spaceships.
Spaceships. Boston used to show up in a spaceship. ELO would show up in a spaceship. Both of their spaceships were round.
What do you mean, like, show up in a spaceship?
That's how the concert would start. Boston, actually, the spaceship was on stage, mm-hmm. and it would open up like a clam.
Oh, really?
And ELO, I don't know much about it. I only found pictures of it. But the Parliament Funkadelic mm-hmm. spaceship looked like a big cone mm-hmm. and then had four balls sticking off the top of it.
Hmm.
Like a rod would come out and then a ball at the end of it.
Yeah.
And I think, don't hold me to this, but I think that sort of spun.
Oh, okay.
But they had the, and of course, you know, dry ice and all kinds
yeah,
of stuff,
yeah,
as
yeah.
if it was landing, you know, Tranquility Base, the Parliament Funkadelic spaceship has landed.
Now, don't make fun of me for this question.
I won't.
Did you happen to watch the last episode of Oprah? When she was signing off.
No, it's not funny because my wife made me watch more Oprah uh-huh. than I needed to watch ever.
I think it was on this episode or it had something to do with that final week, but the Black Eyed Peas performed.
Yeah.
And they came out of a snow globe.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. See, yet another neat stage prop. So.
Yep.
Hey, KLSU, thanks for running the radio show.
Hello, WBSD in Burlington, Wisconsin.
Good. Back in a minute, we're going to talk about some lighting systems here on Rock School. Rock School this time around is sponsored by Subway, but not just any Subway, this Subway, 1635 Southwest Railroad Avenue in Hammond. How about a phone number? Yes, please. 985-340-8015. Why that Subway in particular? That Subway is owned by Mike and Emily Williams, and they're once again at 1635 Southwest Railroad Avenue in Hammond. That Subway will give you both 6-inch and foot-long subs. They have catering delivery available as well. If you want a sub, they have these: roast beef, steak and cheese, Subway melt, tuna, turkey BLT, and the turkey breast and turkey jalapeno subs as well. Once again, Mike and Emily Williams, proud sponsors of Rock School. All right, talking about stage props this week on Rock School. Now, when I was doing some research into this, I went to look at Genesis, because mm-hmm. I've seen Genesis a couple times, and Genesis was my first rock concert, if you don't count Barry Manilow.
No, I do count Barry Manilow.
I know you do, and it's really sad. I got into the concept of laser lights mm-hmm. when looking at Genesis, although that's not really a stage prop. I just thought I'd throw this in here. There's actually a fight as to which band first used lasers mm-hmm. in concert. Here are the bands that proclaim they're the first: Pink Floyd, The Who, and Blue Oyster Cult.
Laser lighting?
Laser lighting. It used to be also that the bands would shoot them at the audience.
Oh, really?
Right. There are now state laws that prohibit
you can't
shooting
shoot
them at the audience. You can shoot them over the heads of the audience.
Sure. You can't shoot directly at them.
Right.
You'll burn their retinas. Yeah,
once again, remember the discussion, you know, let's fire cannons at the audience. What do you say we blind some people this week?
That'd okay, so
blind.
Who are the three? Who are the three?
The three are Floyd, The Who, and Blue Oyster Cult.
We're going to give it to Floyd.
I'm going to give it to Cult.
No, I'm going to give it to Floyd.
You can give it to Floyd?
Yep,
no, that's fine.
Because I like them.
The one thing that I did find out for perfect, for correct, is this thing called the Varilight system. Because one of the really neat things about Genesis is when I went to see them, their light show was different than anything you had ever seen.
How?
They had these things that were computerized to the music. Now, today it's nothing. Mm-hmm. But back then it was, oh, God, I've never seen anything like this before. They would sort of cage themselves in lights. These lights would move and change colors with the music. And there's just nothing like that on the market. And I started reading about it. These were called the Varilight systems, and the inventors of them went to Genesis and said, look, we're offering this to you. And the band gave these people $1 million plus and said, develop them and we'll use them. It was on the Abacab tour that Genesis first used them. And apparently when these things broke down, they would take them into a room and clear the room. So no one could see how these things were built. Seriously. So Genesis really was the first band to have these lights and to put money into them and obviously make money off of the profits that came out of these lights. It's called a Varilight system.
So what happened if you had one big band that utilized stage props like Genesis with their Varilight system?
Right.
Playing with another big band who used stage props like Pink Floyd and their Big Pigs. Then you might have some kind of fight between Phil Collins and Roger Waters. Your light knocked out my pig.
Your pig got in my light. Hey, it's two great props that go great together. Here you go. It's Genesis, No Reply at All, from the Abacab album. Right here. Rock School. Okay, last break here on Rock School, talking about stage props. We have no time left, so we're going to do it quick. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
This final stage prop, everybody should know it. It's by artist Eric Riggs. It's been on every one of the band's album covers and is a perennial fixture in this band's live shows.
What are you talking about? Who is it?
Do you know the band Iron Maiden?
Yeah.
What's the name of that creature?
That thing.
Yeah, with the big ugly face.
Come up with it,
Say
Chad.
It. Eddie. You're right. And that's who we're going to finish up
why
on.
Why is his name Eddie?
I haven't the slightest. Shoot me an email. Tell me why his name is Eddie. Be quick or be dead. Iron Maiden right here. Rock School classes dismissed.